High FM 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is the 1st of December 2021, and that means that it is World AIDS Day. Professor Linda Gail Becker, Professor of Medicine and Chief Operating Officer at the Desmond Tutu HIV Foundation. Good morning to you. How are you? How are you doing?
Morning.
Oh, Professor, can you hear us properly now?
Yes, it is better now.
All right, great. So today, of course, is World AIDS Day. It's the 1st of December. Before we talk about that, I need to know, when you think of December, what is the music that comes to mind?
Let me think.
I want to say Boney M. Boney M. Say Boney M.
Boney M.
There we go. You see, I thought everybody thinks of Boney M, even with a little assistance. But, you know, look, it wasn't exactly subliminal and subtle advertising there. But all right. We just try to think of what are the things. You know, one of the things I think of is Greece. And it must have been because as a youngster, I must have seen Greece, the movie, in December, over a December holiday.
Right.
So it's funny how we do that. But either way, it is the 1st of December. Strange year it's been, and strange times. And it must be quite odd focusing you've spent so much time, and we've spoken so many times this year before about COVID and about research around that. Mm-hmm. But actually your focus has been the HIV. It's quite odd the time that for you, I would imagine, that you've been living through.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, one of my great concerns is that we've, you know, sort of had laser focus on COVID and taken our eyes off the ball. Obviously problematic in this country where we still have a generalized epidemic of both TB and HIV. So not a good time to lose focus on those two conditions.
Yeah, it's interesting. During one of the songs yesterday, Senna, my producer, and I were just debating the issue about vaccinations and people. And Senna was saying that she thinks that there's still reluctance around people getting vaccines. They're not going to clinics because of the stigma that they've had around being HIV positive. I actually had thought it was the opposite, that South Africans are actually quite disciplined in that way. Anybody living with HIV knows they need to have their medication, they need to go to the clinic, they need to monitor it. What is your experience? Ours is just completely anecdotal.
Yeah, you know, but I think it is quite interesting that when people take their antiretroviral therapy and are virally suppressed, they actually have a better lifespan in some countries now than others. And I think that is because they become far more positive about their own health. They attend clinic more regularly, and they're more likely to have other conditions picked up and treated than, say, somebody who is outside of the health system and is unaware of any condition they might have. So actually, you're right. I think they become healthier, if you like, for the reasons of better awareness.
Yeah, I would have imagined that. But is there still, how are we doing as far as the stigma around HIV is concerned?
Probably the most recalcitrant aspect of HIV. We just have not been able to shake it out all around the world. And, you know, I think that when we run the indexes around the world, it waxes and wanes. But, you know, again, every now and then, political ideology comes into play. You know, we see a regression around rights and public health opportunities, and then we see stigma reappearing. I think it's just something we have to keep at the top of our mind and continue to raise awareness about the fact that the treatable condition, it's an infection like any other infection that people have a right to.
Oh, the line is just not a great one. If it doesn't improve, I'm just going to ask them to get you back on. But are we seeing it, you know, and it's interesting because as you were talking about it, I know many people who go once a month for their medication, they go to the clinic for their medication, but the word HIV health around that is never spoken. It's accepted that everybody knows why they're going to the clinic and what they're doing, you know, that they're getting the medication and the reasons, but there's never anything spoken beyond that. It's almost like we are unable to have that conversation. And I'm not sure if we should be. I mean, should everything be out there that we have those conversations? If somebody was going to have their diabetes checked once a month, would we respond in the same way? I'm not sure. But somehow, so we know about it. It's there. We live with it all around us, but it's almost unspoken about.
Yeah, and you know, I think we do want to respect people's privacy yes. around their health conditions. But I think it's the sort of discrimination that comes with people having this condition. That's what we want to be sure, you know, we wipe out, so that people feel like they can go for their services, whether they disclose or not.
Do we monitor this? Is there a way to monitor the stigmatization? I mean, are there measurables?
Yeah, there is a thing called the Stigma Index, and it is run in countries at regular intervals. And, you know, it's a bit of a blunt tool, but it does give us a sense of how, at least at a country level, people are doing. And it, you know, it takes into consideration how people feel about, for example, same-sex sexual activity, use of intravenous drugs, etc., because those things are often linked to how people feel about HIV as well.
Mm. And in terms of couples' disclosure between consenting adults that might not be married or in a relationship, is there an openness of conversation there?
Well, obviously, that's an important aspect of disclosure, but you can imagine very hard to do. So, you know, I think part of the journey of somebody who becomes aware that they are living with HIV is to learn how to disclose to intimate partners. And clearly, that's an important thing to do. I guess in this era where we know that undetectable is uninfectious, that makes it a little bit easier. But really, we do want people, where possible, to get to a point in their relationships where they can test openly and test with each other so that the condition can be managed. And we know now that discordant couples can have normal intimacy, you know, with the provision of preventive measures that we have on hand today.
Right. So it should be something that we are able to manage and live with. How are we doing in terms, I mean, one of the most tragic aspects of the AIDS epidemic or pandemic, whatever it was in South Africa that we were dealing with, was the number of children run households, kids who had lost both parents and maybe more than just both parents. How are we doing in that regard today in South Africa?
You know, I mean, I think we've made a huge difference to mortality around the world, including in this country. So antiretrovirals have really changed that aspect. So with treatment going up, deaths have come down, and that's the triumph. We do still have large numbers of children who are either single or orphaned. Those children are now growing into adulthood, of course, and dealing with that themselves. Of course, COVID has also had an impact now. So, you know, and particularly maternal orphans often carry a huge burden into their adult lives. So I think it's still something we are dealing with in this country.
It absolutely is. It is 6:54. It's an important conversation. Thank you, Professor Linda Gail Becker, Professor of Medicine and Chief Operating Officer at the Desmond Tutu HIV Foundation, talking to us about World AIDS Day.